The reading this morning is from Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 18 to 25. So Isaiah, chapter 42, starting at verse 18. Hear you deaf, look you blind and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, "Send them back." Which of you will listen to this? Or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot, and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways, they did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart.
I grew up attending a good church. What drew me most to the church was the youth group. It was very large on times. We would be crammed into someone's house after church on a Sunday night. We had great teaching and lots of fun. But that was 30 years ago. And where are those young people today? Some of them are going on with the Lord. Many of them are not. Many are very far from him. And I know some here today bear the agony of unsaved loved ones. How can we be sure that the same won't happen to us? We need to ask the question, does it really matter if we honour the Lord? That may seem a silly question to ask in the church. Surely we all aim to honour the Lord. We all want to love him and please him. However, deep down, I think we all like to believe God would never get cross with me. Deep down, God is like our cuddly granddad. He would never get cross with us. We can dishonour him. We can disobey him. And he will never get angry with us. Clearly, the young people who sat with me in the youth group have come to the conclusion that they don't need to honour the Lord with their lives. Well, here in Isaiah 42, God sends down terrible wrath on his own people because they failed to honour him. In this section of Isaiah, we're introduced to the servant of the Lord. And sometimes the servant is Israel, God's people. Sometimes it is Cyrus, the Persian emperor. And ultimately, the servant is the Messiah, a prophecy of Jesus, as in chapters 52 and 53. But here in chapter 42, the servant is Israel. And God pours down terrible wrath on Israel because they have not honored him. We don't say this in any sense of superiority over Israel. We love Israel. We would have been no different. We would have done no better. But nonetheless, God's treatment of Israel is a warning to us of what will happen to us if we do not honour the Lord. The servant of the Lord is blind and deaf. The servant of the Lord is sent away. The servant of the Lord experiences God's anger. Firstly, the servant of the Lord is blind and deaf. Verses 18 to 20. Jesus is clear that it is dangerous to close one's eyes and ears and heart to God. In The Magician's Nephew, a novel from C.S. Lewis's Narnia series, Narnia is created when Aslan, the lion who represents Jesus, sings it into being. The creation song reveals Aslan's majesty and glory. It's a grand call to worship. But there's one, if you remember, Uncle Andrew, who refuses to hear it. And the consequences are staggering. Let me read you an extract. When the great moment came and the beast spoke, he missed the whole point for a rather interesting reason. When the lion had first begun singing long ago, when it was still quite dark, he'd realized that the noise was a song, and he disliked the song very much. It made him think and feel things he did not want to think and feel. Then, when the sun rose and he saw that the singer was a lion, only a lion, as he said to himself, he tried his hardest to make himself believe that it wasn't singing and never had been singing, only roaring, as any lion might in a zoo in our own world. Of course, it can't really have been singing, he thought. I must have imagined it. I've been letting my nerves get out of order. Who ever heard of a lion singing? And the longer and more beautifully the lion sang, the harder Uncle Andrew tried to make himself believe that he could only hear roaring. Now, the trouble about trying to make yourself stupider than you really are is that very often you succeed. Uncle Andrew did. He soon did hear nothing but roaring in Aslan's song. Soon he couldn't have heard anything else, even if he'd wanted to. And when at last the lion spoke and said, "Narnia, awake," he didn't hear any words. He heard only a snarl. And when the beast spoke in answer, he heard only barkings, growlings, bayings, and howlings. Uncle Andrew is a picture of spiritual deafness and blindness. He can no longer hear Aslan's voice. Many people can no longer hear God's voice. Verse 18, "Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see." God's intention is that his people should hear his voice. But they can't hear his voice. Verse 19, "Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord?" This is so tragic. This is like people who go to church every week. The Bible is read. The Bible is taught. But they are blind to God's truth. They're deaf to God's word. They're in a formal covenant relationship with God, maybe, but spiritually, they are blind. Now, if you love Jesus, this doesn't describe you. If you love Jesus, you do hear his voice. You do see his truth in his word. God has opened your ears and opened your eyes. But that said, none of us should be complacent. None of us should assume that we can behave however we like and God won't mind. But the real application of these verses is to the religious person who maybe comes to church, is formally in covenant with God, you've been baptized maybe, You take communion, you're in formal covenant with God, but you're still blind to the truth. You've never really come to love Jesus. You've never committed your life to him. And therefore, you are spiritually blind and deaf. Unless the Holy Spirit of God opens your eyes and ears, preachers like us are wasting our voices. Israel was given great privileges, verse 20. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. How tragic! Israel has seen many things, many acts of God. Think of their history, the redemption from slavery in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea. But they pay no attention to God. They're not listening. And maybe that's like people here today. You've seen God at work, but you will not listen to him. The servant of the Lord is blind and deaf. Secondly, the servant of the Lord is sent away, verses 21 and 22. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. God is a righteous God, and he demonstrates his righteousness by giving his law. God's law is the standard of righteousness against which everyone is held accountable. God's law is indeed great and glorious. God's word is great and glorious. We hear God's voice when we read it. But Israel paid no attention to it. And so, in 587 BC, God allowed Jerusalem to be plundered by the Babylonians. God's people were captured and carried into exile in Babylon. Verse 22, but this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits. They weren't necessarily literally in pits or prison, but being in exile was pretty bad. Cut off from home, cut off from the temple, cut off from God's presence. Verse 22b, they've become plunder with no one to rescue them. They've been made loot with no one to say, send them back. And in a sense, the nation of Israel is still in exile. They're back in the land of Israel, but they have no temple. And they have no peace. And exile is a picture of the lost person without Christ, cut off from God, cut off from God's blessing, only exposed to God's wrath. On July the 4th, 1854, Charlie Peace, a well-known criminal in London, was hanged. The Anglican Church had a ceremony for those who were being hanged. So when Charlie Peace was marched to the gallows, a priest read these words from the prayer book. Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release of which death itself can bring. When these chilling words were read, Charlie Peace stopped in his tracks, turned to the priest and shouted in his face, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" The priest, taken aback by this verbal assault, stammered for a moment, then said, "Well, I suppose I do." "Well, I don't," said Charlie. "But if I did, I'd get down on my hands and knees and crawl all over Great Britain, even if it were paved with pieces of broken glass, if I could rescue just one person from what you just told me." do we believe that if people are lost without Christ, they go to hell and suffer there for all eternity? If we believe that, what are we doing about it? Are we praying for our unsaved family and friends? Are we praying for our colleagues and neighbours? Are we trying to talk to them about Christ? Or is the reality that deep down, we don't really care? The servant of the Lord is blind and deaf. The servant of the Lord is sent away. And thirdly, the servant of the Lord experiences God's anger. This seems unthinkable. How could God's chosen people, his servant, experience his anger, his wrath? Verse 23. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Are you listening? Says God. Verse 24. Who handed Jacob over to become loot? Jacob is another name for Israel. Who handed over Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? We like to think of God as a cuddly granddad, or to Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But God punishes sin. Verse 24b. For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So, verse 25, he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames. Yet, they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. When the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in 587 BC, that was God pouring out his burning anger. And the greatest tragedy of all this is that the people learned nothing. They did not understand that God was dealing with them. They did not take to heart that they must repent and get right with God. And so this passage is a terrible warning to the religious who are not right with God, and a terrible warning to the Christian who thinks they can play with sin and that God won't do anything about that. We all of us, I think, have a great illustration of God's judgment in our kitchens. In our kitchen, we have 4 bins: general rubbish, recycling, paper, and food bin. And these days, we all have to take this very seriously. There's a major project going on to save the planet. So seriously do we take this that many of us can be found washing the rubbish, washing the stuff that goes into the recycling. Wherever did we get the idea from that we have to wash the rubbish? But this is what we do, because the rubbish has to be sorted into the right bin. And you can't recycle dirty plastic, apparently. We have to sort out our rubbish. And in the same way, God will sort us out. Some will go to a destination called heaven, and some will go to a destination called hell. The frightening thing about today's Bible reading is that it is often the religious who will end up going to hell. So all of us who are churchgoers need to take this seriously and ask ourselves, am I really saved? Do I know for certain that I am going to heaven. Not because I have been good, but because Jesus is my Savior, and I'm trusting in Him alone. And if I am saved, does my life please God? Will we keep going for the decades to come? Or will we be like the members of my youth group from 30 years ago, who are nowhere spiritually now? Are we taking seriously that we must live for God? We must honor and please Him. The servant of the Lord is blind and deaf. Are we listening for God's voice? Are we making a priority of reading the Bible? Are we interested in Bible teaching? The truth is, we have a part to play in our own spiritual deafness and blindness. Uncle Andrew, in The Magician's Nephew, could hear Aslan's voice, then he chose not to. People close to me have been professing Christians. They've been living for Christ. And then the word of God seems to mean nothing to them. Someone close to me was baptized as a teenager, and then he embraced an atheistic lifestyle, and he died young. Could the stakes be any higher? We can't afford to mess with God. If we don't listen to God, we can end up like Uncle Andrew, spiritually deaf and blind. The servant of the Lord is sent away. The worst thing that could possibly happen to us is that we're sent away from God's presence, because His decision is final and irrevocable. And the servant of the Lord experiences God's anger. How can we be safe from God's anger? The answer is that God loves the world. He loves us so much that He gives Jesus to die on the cross in our place, taking the punishment for the things we've done wrong. If we want to be safe from God's anger, we must take refuge in Jesus. We must put our trust in Jesus. We must ask Jesus to forgive us. We must make Jesus our King. Have you done that? If not, what's holding you back? As we stand on the cusp of a new year, is there any better way to prepare for that new year than to put our hand into the hand of God and go into the year loving Him and trusting Him? And if you are a Christian, do you ever toy with giving up? Don't make that mistake. Keep going. Keep living for Christ. He really is worth serving. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. And if we know that we've been saved from hell, what lengths will we go to serve Christ and to save others? Surely, we should be totally committed to Christ, totally committed to loving Him and serving Him in the world. So let's pray. A moment of silence for each one of us to respond to God's word. Where has God spoken to you today? What do you need to say to him? Do you need to say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior, be my King. I'm sorry I haven't been living for you. Father, we don't want to be spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. We don't want to be sent away from your presence. We don't want to experience your anger. So come to each one of us, Lord. And Father, if there are any here today who've not yet given their lives to Christ, entrusted themselves to him, please work in their hearts today so that we all together can love Jesus and serve him. And Lord, for those of us who do know him, keep us faithful to him. Keep us from the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the temptations to give up. Lord, keep us faithful to Christ. Keep us going, we pray. For his honor and glory. Amen.